my God is real. Oh, I can feel Him in my soul.
Can we all say God is real this morning? Yeah, He's real. Hopefully He's real in your soul. Now, deep down, you have a relationship with God that no one can take away from you. It is good to be back in the house of God on this morning. It's good to have those who are with us. And if you're with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're the distinguished guest of the audience, and that is, you're a very important person to us, a VIP, and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. You do that by believing Jesus hung, bled, and died, suffered for you on the cross of Calvary. When you believe it, then you must repent. Confess Him before men that you believe that He's the Son of God. And then we'll baptize you as commanded by the Lord. And only then will the Lord add you to the one church you can read about in the Bible. And there's only one in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. We don't say that, neither do we take it back, because that's the truth. That's what we preach, and that's what we believe. That's what the Bible believes. We believe in one God, the Father who sent the one Son, the one Holy Spirit, the one baptism, the one faith, and the one church. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Well, happy Rabbit Day. I'll give y'all my rabbit sermon. You all know the Bible. The world has taken Easter and really made a mock out of God. They use a rabbit laying chicken eggs, colored chicken eggs, to represent Jesus' resurrection. That's like Christmas. They use a fat man in a red suit to celebrate His birthday. Now, if we just use common sense, God would never represent His Son with a rabbit laying eggs. So that's your Easter sermon. The word Easter is in the Bible one time. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. That's the only place you ever read this, but it has nothing to do with Jesus' resurrection. We have bitten that poison. We bit off on that. Many people have bit off on that. The only time they go to a place to worship God is what they call the Resurrection Sunday. And this is every Sunday. We remember Jesus by taking the Lord's Supper. This is what He told us to do. This you do in remembrance of me. Now, if you didn't know that, that means you hadn't been taught the truth. And so I'm glad you're here today, because now we'll preach from the Word of God and teach you truth. And so that's about as much as I'm going to say about Easter. That's my typical sermon on Easter and Christmas, about 5 minutes long, maybe. If it was in the Bible, I would preach on it. But it's not. So we want you to turn to Luke chapter 22. We have lost some loved ones. We traveled to Dallas on yesterday. Support Brother Ronaldo. The loss of his daughter. Sister Doris Sharp lost her son. Sister Children lost her father. Sister Dunbar lost her husband. So we got three upcoming funerals. We just finished one. One thing it should say to all of us, that life is not promised to any of us tomorrow. This is why we shouldn't play church. Play with hiding eggs. It had nothing to do with salvation. It's the devil's work to keep us focused on something other than what God has said for us to do. And the reason death is in place is to put us in a state of mourning, where we can be better, in a better place to receive God. Because we need to know the Lord before we die. We need to obey Him before we die. After you're dead, we can't help you. This is why it's important when we lose loved ones to try to reach our families. Death brings us all into a way of thinking that's, in God's eyes, good. And so, but as a family, we must rally behind those we love when they're going through mourning, and we mourn with them and we weep with them. And we know that Jesus taught, blessed are they that mourn. Why is that? Because mourning is a good state to be in. Because only God can reach you when you're in a state of mourning. And so that's what we need to do with our family members. Sister Doris Shaw, raise your hand. I don't know if a lot of people know you. That's her right there. So y'all know, get to her. I know we know Sister Childress. Sister Childress, where you at, baby? She in here? Raise your hand so I can see. There she is. Ronaldo here? Is Ronaldo here? He's not here. He's still in Dallas. Okay. And then who I miss? Who? Sister Dunbar is not here. We did talk to Sister Dunbar this morning. So make sure y'all blow her phone up and show a lot of love to her, okay? I hope you've been enjoying the Sifter series. And so this series is a study that challenges our faith, our way of thinking. And in Luke chapter 22 is where the thought comes from. In Luke 22, 31, where Jesus says, Simon, Simon,
behold,
Satan had desired to have you.
That he may sift you as wheat.
But I have prayed for thee
that thy faith fail not.
And when thou art converted,
strengthen thy brethren.
He told him, when you converted, then strengthen your brethren. And he said unto him, Lord,
I am ready to go with thee.
Both into prison.
And to death.
Read.
And he said,
I tell thee, Peter,
the rooster shall not crow this day. Before thou shalt thrice deny me. That thou knowest me.
Three times he would deny him. In this series I looked at, Satan has a desire. Before you get on the sifter, understand this, that Satan's desire is to sift us and to agitate us so bad so that our faith fail. That was lesson number one. I taught what his desire was, and I taught about the process of sifting. And then lesson two, I looked at the fact that when you're on the sifter, then your faith must not fail or die during the sifting process, or you'll lose your soul. This happens, it has to be understood before you get on the sifter. So Simon, the old man, Jesus referred to him as Simon, Simon. We know him as Peter. And he wanted him to know that Satan desire to have us, and I talk about how all of us have that problem, that Satan desire to have us, and he wants to sift us. So when you look at sifting, you have to understand, what does sifting mean? I'm just recapping now, because we've done two sermons on this, so if you haven't heard one and two, you need to go back and get them. I'm going to try to bring you up to, but at least give you the sifting process, the sifting. And the sifter is known as a sieve, or something like this is what we know, and mom and dad, my mother used one of these. I don't see many ladies. How many of you ladies use these anymore? They got some cooks in the house, but then when they cook a cake, most of the time we go get them cakes already cooked. But if you cook a cake, what they do, they put the flour on top of the sifter. And on the sifter is a screening process. And if you just set the flour on there and don't agitate it, nothing happens. But once you start agitating it, shaking it up, what it's doing is getting the good stuff out, coming out the bottom. And everything on top of the sifter failed to go through the sifter. So if your faith is left on top of the sifter, then your faith failed. You say, well, brother, what are you trying? I'm going to get to make the application, but the sifting is going on with each of us. So Satan has a desire to put us on top of this sifter and start agitating each of us because he don't want faith. And he knows the only thing that can get me through a situation is faith in God. So he agitates my belief. When we're going through trials and tribulations in this life, we're on the sifter. When we get on the sifter, Satan has the permission from God to shake us up, to agitate our faith or our belief that God won't get us through. And many times we fail or our faith die on top of the sifter. And we get through the trial not by faith, but by the grace of God. So Jesus lets Peter know. What he lets him know is that, you know what? I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. Now, so obviously, Peter was a follower of Christ.
which was a disciple. Is that right? Which makes all of us followers of Christ. But as followers of Christ, not disciples of Christ, we understand this, that in reality, Jesus is pointing out, he said to him that when you are converted, so the reality is that you can be a follower, you can be a Christian, but not be converted. Somebody said, how can that be? That's the purpose of this lesson. Because Jesus said to him, Peter, when thou art converted, this is lesson three. Now that he's on the sifter, now that Satan has him, Jesus says, now you can't get through it. Basically, he's telling him, you will not get through this without faith. But when you are converted, then you strengthen your brethren. Y'all remember that? Now keep that in mind. Total conversion is what I'm talking about. Somebody said, well, I'm a converted. We'll see. Was Peter converted? Or was he a follower of Christ? Was he a disciple? Yes. But why did Jesus say you can do better when you converted? So just because you baptized doesn't mean you are converted. That's my point. There are many, no doubt, in this audience that are baptized believers, but you have not converted. Simon had not converted, and he was an apostle. He would be one of the great gospel preachers of this time, but yet he was not converted, and Jesus let him know, Satan wants you, because your faith is not where it needs to be yet. But I prayed. I don't know about you, but I thank God that Jesus prayed. Not only did he pray for him, he prayed for us. Amen. Amen. And so as we look at this, let's go up in Luke 22, drop down to verse number 48. The story goes, after he talked to him, you got to go back and get the other sermons, but what he did, he went to the garden, he started praying, and Peter then went to sleep on him, and then Jesus asked him, why are you sleeping? And so they was going through all the agony. Jesus was going through the agony. Peter don't know he's getting ready to get put on the sifter. He think he's good. I'm going to go with you, Lord. I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'm ready to die with you. I'm going to go to prison with you. Talk is cheap. I'm ready to go to worship with you. I'm going to come back to evening service. I'm going to go to Wednesday night. I'm going to be involved. Talk is cheap. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to go to worship every Sunday. I'm going to be back Wednesday night. Talk is cheap. Now y'all know where I'm going with this, don't you? But when Judas betrayed him, Peter saw that Judas had betrayed him. And in verse number 48, Jesus said to him, Judas, betrayed thou the Son of Man with kiss? Verse 49, he said,
When
they saw
what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword?
You want us to fight these people? So the disciples, here they go. They're going to the old way of thinking. You know how we revert back to the way we used to be before we converted? You know what I'm saying? You know how we used to hit them back, fight back. That's what you see going on in churches sometimes. When you strike me, I'm going to strike you back because the old man, Satan, is whooping you. He's agitated you to the point you can't stand that individual. You want to hit him back. Yes. See, and then we just can't stand, can't even worship. Because I'm so upset, agitated by the individual. The old man, the unconverted individual is in a fighting mood. This is what Jesus was talking about. He said, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest. That was Peter.
And cut off his right ear.
Took a sword and chopped his ear off. Fighting. Oh, what's going on, Simon? I ain't converted. How many of y'all are converted? And so Peter gets so agitated. Now he's being agitated. He's on the sifter right now. He just got placed on it. Jesus already warned him. So now he gets placed on it. And now that he's on it, if you keep reading the text, we went over that last week, how Peter then denies him three times. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. Let's go to Matthew's account, though. I want to show you, not only did he deny him, he went all the way old school. In Matthew 26:69, now Peter sat without the palace. Is that the iPad ain't working?
Now Peter sat without in the palace.
Yeah, there you go. That's why a good book will do better.
Just and the damsel came up to him saying,
Thou also
was with Jesus
now,
of Galilee.
Now, so they're he's on the, here he is. He's on the ship right now. He's on there. He just got on it when they started to challenge him. He don't know what's going on. He went back to his old way. Now he's getting challenged. What does he really believe?
But he denied before them all, saying,
No.
I know not what thou sayest.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know how you lie when you ain't converted? Lying. Look how you lying. I didn't know. Yeah, you know Peter. And when he was going out into the porch,
another maid saw
somebody
him
else saw him.
And said unto them that was there, this fellow was also with Jesus.
Yeah, he was
of Nazareth.
With somebody. I seen him with Jesus too. You know, I was thinking about some of the members that went to the casino back in Arkansas that I knew. Yeah, if they both at the casino pulling that what they call that thing? What you say? What is it?
Lever?
What lever for what? Oh, help me out, man. You my reader. Got a lever. Lever on what?
Slot machine.
You shooting? You hit it slot. How you know, bro? Lever. You watching on TV. Yeah, right. You're pulling that lever. That old man. You know how you been converting. You still gambling? Two members of the church been baptized believers at the casino. And one see the other one pull, and he looked over there, and he seen her, and she seen him. They looked at each other, and they both had their hand on the lever. He said, you don't see me, and I don't see you. Praise my name of Jesus. You know how you can lie. They said, lying, they saw each other. But hey, I'm going to lie and say I didn't see you, and you lie and say you didn't see me. We just lie together. Because they're on the scepter. When you get on the scepter, you start lying and everything. Look at this man. He was going out into the porch. Another maid saw him. And then she said, yeah, this fellow with Jesus of Nazareth. And again,
he denied with an oath. I do not know the man.
I swear I don't know him. You know how you start making swearing when you're lying? You want people to really believe you. Boy, how why we do that? We really want you to believe this lie, please. You know. And then the other thing, you know, here's a good liar. And when they get real good at lying, they start saying, I'm going to be honest with you now. I'm going to be honest with you. When they say I'm going to be honest with you, watch them. What do you mean? You ain't been honest in the past? I'm just going to be honest with you this time. But what about the other times? Huh? Y'all going to be all right on Easter Sunday, ain't you? I swear I don't know you. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and
said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them.
Yeah, you one. Surely you are.
For thy speech be read.
Yeah, you talk just like him. Betrayed.
Betrayed. Sorry.
Then began he, don't know what he's doing.
To curse and
he's
to swear.
Cussing. How many of y'all still cussing? Maybe because you ain't converted. Everybody cussing, raise your hand. Everybody lying now, raise your hand. Everybody ain't going to tell the truth at all today, raise your hand. Some of y'all still cussing. Why Peter cussing? He's not converted. Is he a follower of Christ? Yes. But is he converted? No. That's why he cussing. And Peter remembered. Peter said, now I know not the cussing. I'm a cussing lie in the same sentence. I know not the man. Immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word of
Jesus,
which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times.
And he went out and wept bitterly.
Now, what's going on? Why is Peter cursing? Why? What's going on with him? He's on the sifter. Satan is testing his faith right now. That's what's going on with him. And so Peter's like us. We get put on the sifter all the time. When we're on the sifter, our faith is being agitated. Our belief in Jesus is being shaken and agitated. And so we start denying him through our lives, denying him through our conversation, denying him through our worship. We deny him all kind of ways. Like we don't know him when we're out in the world. We don't know him at home. We don't know him enough to come back on Sunday. We don't know him. We deny him just like Peter. And then we lie to people and say, oh, I love Jesus. Deny and lie. How we do both of them? Deny and lie. That's what Peter, you deny and lie. Why? Because you're on the sifter. Your faith is being tested. He lost focus. Peter lost focus like we can as children of God. He's forgot the Lord because he said he remembered. So he had forgot. How many of you have forgot what the Lord has done for you? You forgot why you got baptized. You forgot why you're a member of the true church. You forgot you're supposed to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You forgot? It took Easter Sunday to remind you? Something that's fake and from the world brings us back. So, and the main point in evidence from this lesson three is Peter is not converted. So, what is conversion? What is repentance? Is there a difference between conversion and repentance? Can I repent and not be converted? Those are the questions that we have to answer to understand where we are in our lives as Christians. And so when you look at the word conversion, if you look at it's a change or turn. To change or turn from one state to another. To change or turn from one belief to another belief. To turn from a bad life to a good life. So you can convert and not repent. You can say, I convert. I stop drinking. Or you can say, and you never drink. But that don't mean you're a child of God. It doesn't mean you're saved. You can repent and not convert. In Matthew, let's get a few verses. Look at what the Bible says. Matthew 13, 15. Jesus said for the people. Watch what happens for a conversion to take place. For the people's heart
is waxed gross.
Waxed gross.
And their ears are dull of hearing. And
their eyes have closed.
Lest at any time they should see with
their
eyes.
They got to see with their eyes. Today we see by faith.
And hear with their ears.
They got to hear what they got to not only see, but they got to hear.
And should understand
with
their
heart. And then you got to understand what you heard.
And should be converted. And I should
that you should
them.
Be converted and should heal. He said that you should be converted when? When I hear and I understand. Look at another one, Matthew 18, 3. That's over in the book of Matthew.
And said, verily, I say unto you.
He said, verily, I say, except
you be converted.
Notice it.
And become
conversion
as little children.
Requires a different state of mind. And become as little what?
Children.
That's humility.
You shall not enter into the
you
kingdom
of heaven. You can't convert pride with pride. I don't want to hear no more of this. That's pride. You'll never convert. You got to hear the word of God when you're on the sifter. You got to listen to what God is saying, and you got to move on what God said. It takes humility. That's why we have to receive with meekness the engrafted word. You have to receive the word. In Mark chapter 4 and verse number 12. And they seeing may see and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand. People can hear and not understand. You know how many times we preach one church and people still don't, I don't buy that theory because you ain't hear it. You can't understand if you don't believe the scripture is right. Once the scripture is right and you convinced that by faith the word of God is from God, that's faith. When you don't believe the scripture, that's no faith in it. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You can't be a hearer of the word and don't do it. John 12, 48, Jesus said, he that rejected me and received not my word had one to judge him. The words I spoke, the same will judge you. I'm warning y'all. If the book said it, you talking about going to heaven and folk are dying and getting out here every day? At some point, you better make a decision. If this book out to be right or die and see what it is to it. If it ain't nothing to us and they got Wi-Fi, hot fire down there, and you take, I happen to put the iPhone in your casket with you and get down there, ain't nothing to it, shoot us a text. Just connect to the hot fire and send it back to us. If we receive it and you still in the ground, I'll stop preaching it. Yeah, I will. I'm going to wait on the text. It's 281-750-2702. Shoot the text to me and I'll stop preaching it right then. Somebody said, I hope I die and get take my iPhone with you. You do? Really? Matter of fact, I'll loan you one. Because at some point, y'all, you know, here's the way I see it. It's me. It's me. Some people say, this is me talking. You know, Why I respect Martin Luther King? He fought for civil rights for our people, didn't he? Why don't we fight for our spiritual right? We don't have to believe lies. We don't have to just buy into everything reverends say. If what reverends say disagrees with what God say, you don't listen to him. If he was listening to God, he would never tell you to call him reverend. For the Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 9, holy and reverend is God's name. You can't listen to the Pope as who tells you to call him Holy Father. When Jesus said in Matthew 23:9, call no man father. I said, Brother Brooke, right, well, I see myself as a fighter of spiritual rights. And I'm going to fight for us to say, y'all, we don't have to take everything folks say. We can believe it. Go to funerals. Everybody don't go to heaven. That's a lie. Every funeral I went to growing up was a homegoing celebration. Everybody I knew in my family died, went to heaven. They didn't go to no worship. Died whoremongering, died drinking. But only in the obituary. Or he accepted Jesus in the heart at an early age. I can see him now up there with Jesus. You lying, man. I'm talking about my uncles who preached this stuff. That was a lie. And our people, right? Well, thank you, Jesus. I'm a fighter. For spiritual rights, I won't be liked about it. That's not why I do it. I do it because I love my people. That's why I say the things I say. I don't take them back, and I'm not interested if you're going to pat me on my back. That doesn't interest me. What interests me is people like me who bleed just tell us what to do. And show me book, chapter, and verse when you do it, and I'll be okay with that. And I'm going to tell you something. Any true child of God who believes in the truth won't have no issue with the things I'm saying today. They won't have an issue with this. They agree with it. They're going to say, amen. See, not everybody say amen. That's why some Church of Christ preachers won't even preach a funeral right. They won't teach the living. I went to 2 funerals recently where the preacher neglected to tell the lost. I want to know. You got 100 people in a funeral who've never heard the gospel, who don't know what to do to be saved. God give you a charge, preacher, and you say, not today. I said, then why not, bro? What if Jesus would have said it on the cross? Not today. He didn't say that. Pray God, I never lose my mind to the point that I don't tell people what to do to be saved under no circumstance. Is it okay to tell people what to do to be saved? That is sad. So should we have spiritual right? Yeah. Should we fight for them? Absolutely. Who going to be one of me? I raise my hand. If I have to do it by myself, so be it. Amen. But I don't think I'm going to be by myself. It's many of us who believe like this. He said, but what's the point? Until we're converted, we don't make those turns. So when you look at conversion, it's turning. So what is, and you can use this word turn, when you turn. Everywhere you look at converting, you can put the word turn. So what is repentance? Repentance is when I change my mind. Watch this. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you'll perish. Verse 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. Y'all remember before the sifter, Peter said, I am ready to go. Remember that? Then when he started getting tested, he getting shaken up, sifting. His faith was so shaken that he forgot about Jesus. And then his belief in Jesus was agitated to the point he denied him and it didn't hold up. But notice this. After the sifting, Peter remembers. And Matthew 26, 75. He said, and Peter remembered. What did he do?
Remembered.
He remembered. It came back to him. That's how I know it totally didn't fail, because if it had failed, he never would have remembered what the Lord said. And he said to him, before that, the cry crowed, thou shalt deny me. And know what he says? When Jesus, he remembered, Jesus made a statement. He said, he remembered what he said. And then he what? He went out.
Wept.
75.
He went out and wept bitterly.
No, what is it? That's when he repented. Let me recap. When we're going through troubles and trials, we're on the sifter, shaking up. Satan is seeing if I'm going to hold on by faith, if I'm going to wait on God through it, or am I going to dump God? Now that we know the only way through it is by faith, the question will be, did my faith die? So you sin when your faith fails. And when you sin, then you must repent. And when you repent, then you must turn back. So here it is. Every time we sin, you first must repent before you can convert. Here it is. The difference between repentance and conversion is repentance is when I'm going the wrong way in life and I'm warned to stop. You got to stop or you're going to fall off the cliff. You got to give up the drugs. You got to stop getting drunk or you're going to die in your sins. You got to stop. You got to make a decision to give your life to Jesus or you're going to walk off. When you stop in your tracks and say, I'm not going to walk off the cliff, that's repentance, but it's not conversion. Conversion is when I say, where do I turn? You turn to the Lord. So if I stop and the Lord is this way, then conversion means I stop and then I turn and go the way of the Lord. See, some folk have stopped, got baptized, but they never returned. That's why you're not here on Sunday evenings. That's why you're not here on Wednesday night. That's why you're not involved in ministry. That's why you don't tell nobody about Jesus. All you did was stop doing some bad things. Amen. That's all you did. You haven't converted yet. It's not hard for us to understand. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 people stopped and turned. He said, repent and be baptized. They became followers of Christ. Now, you actually, and every one of you in here got good enough sense to know which state you're in now. Either you have repented and turned, or you've just repented and stopped some things. There's some things you haven't repented of. That's why you're still doing them. Let's go to Acts 8. I'm going to give you an account of a man who became a new convert, but he never made a change. He never turned. He had to repent and then turn back. Go to Acts 8, verse 9.
But there was a certain man called Simon, which before a time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one.
Now we're talking about Simon now. So he was a sorcerer. And whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying,
this man is the great power of God.
Yeah. And him?
And to him they had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery.
Well, he's a sorcerer. He's a...
But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning...
Now, they started hearing what Philip was preaching, the things concerning the kingdom, which is the church. He was telling them about the one church. The kingdom of God was the church.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ. And notice that. When he preached the kingdom in the name about authority of Jesus Christ, they were what?
Baptized.
Which means he told them they had to be baptized.
Both men and women.
Men and women had to be baptized. Now, then Simon himself
the believed
sorcerer,
also.
He believed. So he was a sorcerer. He was a witchcraft, what he did. But now he believes in this message about Jesus Christ and his church. And then he says, when he would believe, guess what he did?
And when he was baptized.
Which means Peter and them preached what Jesus told him to preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe in him is baptized shall be saved. So if one ain't going to be saved, they must believe and be baptized. Then he says what?
He continued with Philip and wondered.
Yeah.
Beholding the miracles and the signs which are done.
Okay.
Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
Okay, read on.
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
All right, read on.
Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Okay, now watch Simon.
And when Simon saw
what
that,
did he see?
Through laying.
He seen some power that he wanted. See, men today want power. Amen. Just like then.
And when Simon.
That's why some of these people, all they want is power right here. The power is in Jesus, not in the man. The power is in the word, not in the man. The power is in the word of God. When Simon saw
that through
remember, he had got baptized, which means he repented and he turned. But watch what happened to this new convert.
Laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power.
He said, now I want, now Satan got him already on the sift. Don't put him on the sift right after baptism. Some of you young convert, some of you just got baptized weeks ago, months ago. Satan went after you as soon as you came out the water. He put you on top of that sifter. He got you believing whatever you want to believe now. He got you on the sifter. You back out chasing things of the world. Notice what he says.
That on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.
Read on.
But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee.
And by money?
Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.
It's not by money, Simon. You're thinking wrong. That has neither part nor lot in this matter. For your heart is not right.
Right. So
he said,
God.
The problem is the way you're thinking, Peter. I mean, Simon, the way you're thinking is not good. So Peter's dealing with him. Watch him. Watch him now.
Repent thereof.
He tells him you need to repent. Therefore, change your mind about the way you're thinking. That's repentance.
Of this thy wickedness.
Of what you just done.
And pray God
if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. You need to ask for forgiveness. Then he said, for I perceive
that thou art in the gall of bitterness.
And in the bond
of iniquity.
You getting trapped. You on the sifter. And then he says, watch
Simon
him respond.
Said,
watch conversion.
Pray ye to the Lord for me.
He answers. He repents. And he said, turn to the Lord. He said, pray to the Lord. You see what he did? He made it. He said, repent. And then the way we know he repented, he said, man, pray to the Lord for me. I'm turning back to the Lord. So what do you got to do, church? You got to make decisions and then turn back in the direction of right, which is the Lord, in the direction of what the Lord, what did the Lord say for you to do? How many of you have truly repented? How many of you have truly converted? You better convert before you die. Repent. Today is a good day to do it. But don't just repent. Turn back. To the Lord. You know what I love about the Lord? He gives us chances after chance. Amen. That's what I like. You know, am I guilty? Yeah. Are you guilty? I can say probably so. Many of us have made decisions, but didn't return. Now you're scratching your head and thinking, huh? Let me close this up. Verse 61, Luke 22. This is next week after next. I'll be in a meeting next week. Just trying to be transparent so y'all know. But that don't mean you're supposed to go worship somewhere else because I'm not here. I had one of the members going, Robert, why don't you tell us when we'll be gone? When you're going to not be here? And I'm gonna start doing that. But those who are converted, you'll leave your contribution if you're going somewhere else. Those who are converted, when you don't get caught up on Brooks. There's some people who hate Brooks, and there's some people who get Brooksarized. So neither one is good. You don't love me so much that you can't worship if I'm not preaching. You don't love me so much that you forget it's the word of God that you need to hear. It don't matter who it comes from. What matters, did you receive it? The Lord say the same, I'll be in a meeting.
And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.
Obviously, he wanted me to stop talking about what I was talking about and get back to the scripture. Because I didn't tell him to read, did I? That's one way to send me the message, bro. But understand this, I'm the preacher. Well, that was smooth, wasn't it? Man, that was good, old, but it didn't work. I was talking about members coming to me, telling me things that I think are good. I want you to know I listen. That's all I was doing. I was giving a member a prompt that came to me, and now she know I listened to her, but she knew that before she came to me. You don't have to talk about Muhammad back, just come tell me. Amen. Try me. I guarantee some of you talk back or back behind the hot, talk back and come to my office, see if you see what happens. Amen. Or just meet me out in the hall and talk to me, see how bad I am. See how good I am. See, do I receive you? Don't just take the words of those who say I don't listen. Come try me. See what happens. Praise in my name of Jesus. Now I'm ready to get back to my lesson, brother. So Peter went out and wept what? Bitterly. He heard, he understood. So he converted right about that time. He denied Christ three times, didn't he? Like Peter, we deny. Like Peter, we need to repent. Like Peter, we must change our mind. Like Peter, we must convert and turn back to the Lord when we've left the Lord. And so, but Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter. And understand this, brothers and sisters. We can't help our brethren if we're not converted. That's what he said. When thou art converted, strengthen who? Your brethren. That's coming next week. Only then can we help others. So what's the problem? Example. You repent, you stop drinking, but you don't give your life to the Lord. It's good that you stop drinking. You get baptized, you repent that day, and you say, I need to change my life, and I need to give my life. It's good that you got baptized, but you didn't turn to the Lord yet. You come to all the services and you feel real good about being a worshiper, and you hear morning, Sunday night, Sunday evening, and you hear Wednesday night, but you don't do nothing in the ministries. See how deceptive it can be? We can measure our faith based on basic little things that we do. We come to Jesus, but we don't share Jesus. You say, brother, how are we going to grow as a church? We got to see the Lord. You got to be able to see Jesus to convert. And that's what I'm going to talk about next time. Jesus turned and looked at him. There's something happened in that turn. And what I'm saying to all of us, because we have been blessed to have the truth, make sure, my brother and sister, that you convert. It's good that you've changed your life. It's good that you've stopped doing the things you did. And it may be because of other reasons you did it. Sometimes when we lose loved ones, we start to repent of things. Oh, man, I must get out of them street. They're getting killed out of them street. That's good. You got out the street. People are getting killed. You ain't going to get killed in the street, but you can still die. It's good. Oh, man, I can't, folk down accounts. I can't keep doing this. Stop. Oh, man, my blood pressure up. You stop doing things that because you stop eating pork chitlins. It's good that you stop eating chitlins, but you still have a turn back to the Lord. When we're wrong, we got to turn. When we see ourselves, we got to turn. So, brother, what helps us to turn? Well, first thing, you got to see your condition. And your condition can only be seen when you believe this. And here's your condition. That thing working up there? Put it up there. The only thing you see is that you are separated from God. According to Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. The Bible teaches us something that everybody needs to see. I'll give you a basic lesson on salvation here as I close. Is it working? Basically, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your sins have separated you from your God. that he will not hear. People don't know this, but you can't pray to God if you're separated to it. So why you can't pray to God? He's not that God can't hear. He said he will not hear. So what he's saying, God is saying, you got a condition that you got to get fixed before you die. Now, are you going to die? Yeah. In John 8:21, the Bible says there in John 8:21, I go my way, and you shall seek me, shall die in your sins. Where I am, you can't come. So what I'm saying, if you die like this, you can't go to heaven where Jesus is at. That's pretty clear. That's in the scripture. And when you know this is your condition, you got to stop. What am I going to do about it? First thing, you got to repent. You got to say, man, how do I get this decision, this fixed? Well, that's easy. Well, what happens, I'm a gospel preacher. And gospel preachers tell the world that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But they also tell the world, according to Romans 6:3, that the wages of sin is death. And not only said tell the world that the world, God loves you though. He loved this world of sinners. All of us in a world of sinners. All of us has this condition. We're sinners. But the only people God hears are those who are righteous. So you got to go from a state of a sinner to a righteous man. That's the one who you want to be right there. And so the question becomes, what did God do for the sinner? Well, God, Romans 5:8, he commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So what happened? Jesus then died on the cross for our the sinner. God loved the sinner. Jesus then is hung on the cross of Calvary. He's not just hung, though, but he comes into a world of people who didn't like him, people who tried his faith. They tested him. Satan desired him, man, just like he does us. But Jesus did not sin. He held on. Amen, somebody. He held on. When they were beating him with the whip, called a flagellum. They beat him with a whip with bones and metal fragments in the end of it. And when they would hit Jesus with that whip, the whip would wrap around his body. And from the releasing of the whip would leave stripes of removed of flesh and bones. And from them stripes would be the healing power of blood of Jesus. That's why Isaiah said, by his stripes are we healed. It was that blood to take care of these sins we got, y'all. And then what the preacher's supposed to do like me is to tell you that he didn't just die, but he suffered, ladies and gentlemen. It's one thing to say Jesus died. It's another thing to say he was the only son of a father who loved all of us. And that only son was smocked and spit upon for all of us to have a new beginning and a second chance. He did it, y'all. He did it. They put the crown of thorns on his head. Aren't you glad? That he hung in there when he was on the sifter. He took it. He didn't curse. He didn't do what Peter did. He took the spit in his face. Not like some of us. We can't take nothing. He took the spit. They slapped him. He took that. And he told them in Luke 24, it behooves me to suffer. So he was suffering after the whipping. He was suffering trying to carry his cross up the hill. He suffered to the point that he couldn't take it. He was beat up. He'd been up all night. He had last supper with his disciples. He had went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He had got arrested by the mobs. He had went to 6 different trials. All of them found nothing wrong with him. Pilate finally said, I found no fault with the man 3 times. What y'all want me to do? He said, crucify him. Kill him. Why are you going to get killed? Why are you going to die? For us. So this is what we should hear. And you should not be clapping and praise dancing right now. You should be about to cry. Because godly sorrow work in repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Until you start crying over what Jesus did, you ain't going to repent. You got to cry. You got to mourn. You got to see God's child, his only child, as if it was your child. With nails in his hands. It ought to make us all cry. That his child had to go through this for us. In the way we do him. The way we neglect to serve him. The way we reject the truth. It'll make all of us cry as parents. To know somebody did our child like that. To put a name on the building that don't represent our children. Call mountains and cities. Jesus wasn't no Macedonia church. His name is powerful. Salvation is in his name. The church wears his name. And we say things like, ain't nothing in the name. Shame on us. That was his child. Nails in his hands and his feet. Hung between two thieves. One guilty on the right, one guilty on the left. But the man in the middle wasn't guilty of sin. What are he doing? Suffering. 6 hours he would hang for us. 6 long hours with agony and pain. He would cry to his father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why? Why would you leave me here on this cross? Because God loved all of us. He wants us to convert. Amen. He wants us to repent. He's not slack concerning his promise. As men count slackness. But he wants all of us to repent, y'all. Stop. Today. Make your mind up right where you are. If God did all that for me, why don't I just stop doing what I'm doing and change? Turn back to him. Make this the greatest Easter Sunday you ever had. The true day you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when he died on the cross, he said it was finished. And the soldier pierced him in the side. Out came blood and water. Blood and water came out of Jesus' side. You got preachers ain't nothing in the water. How is it that you can say something to come out of Jesus' side ain't nothing to it? There's water and there's water right here. There's blood in water. You can't see that water, blood in that water. You're stepping there by faith. But you say, I don't believe in baptism, then you don't believe in Jesus. You didn't see him. It's in this book. It's the only way you'll know about Jesus. You wasn't there. None of us saw him. We believe because of a book. You say, Robert, what's the point? I'm trying to get people to see. This could be the greatest day of your life. Because if you die like this, you're not going to heaven. But the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Here's the eyes open to prayer. So with the blood and water, Jesus got up from the grave and he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So here's the world of creatures. This is the world. The gospel must be preached to them. When I preach the gospel, he said, he that believe the gospel, which I just preached to you, I just shared the gospel story, and is baptized shall be saved. These are the people who are going to be saved right here. These are the righteous people. Who are these people? Acts 2:47 says, praising God, have faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. The righteous people are in the church. How many churches? One. Which church is it? Well, let's go back to the book. In Romans 16:16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So we're saying today you must believe and be baptized to be a member of the church of Christ. And when you become a member of the church of Christ, only then are you saved. You say, what are you saying, Brother Brooks? I'm not going to repeat it. Only then are you saved. But you got to test your faith, because it's about, do you believe this? Because if you believe this, you can't say no other church other than Church of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen. And then once you're part of the true church, you start drinking in remembrance of him. This is why we do this. He said, this you do. He didn't say come in April to remember my resurrection. That wasn't the command. What the command was to remember the death, burial, and resurrection. You drink the blood. It doesn't represent either. No, people, well, he represents. No, he said, this is my blood of the New Testament. We drink it by faith because it has cleansing power. He said, this is my broken body. We drink it with the body of Jesus in mind on the cross, that he broke his body for us. We believe everything by faith. We believe there's a Jesus by faith. We worship by faith. We sing by faith. We preach the word of God, which is our faith. And when we stay with the faith, we're going to be all right when we get on top of the sifter. Because when he get on top of the sifter, he don't care who you are, how old you are. If you got a teenager, he just going to sift him. Make sure that teenager understand. I'm going to agitate you. You don't need to change. Keep on talking to your mama any kind of way. You ain't got to do right, man. You need to end up there. Worry about football. Don't put God first. Don't you understand that, young teenagers? Then you got them young adults. Yeah. Go on, keep on pouring. I know you live, you in college now, ain't you? Them college students, listen, you can wild now. You ain't at the foreman's house. You can do whatever you want to do. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Yeah, then you got to do what you want to do. Then you get them middle-aged folk, you know, they want a new car, and they get that, you know, they got that, what they call them, 40s. How old are you in the 40s? And then, they got that, what they call that, middle-aged crisis. They got one of that party. How old are you? You were not him. He said, not him. Them middle-aged folk, they just want a party. And Satan saying, you know what, Jeff, you don't live long, man. They people ain't dying till they're 80. Go ahead on and keep on doing it. Them young adults, ooh, they're a good one right there. Keep on doing it, man. saying? That's dreck. Put them pants down on you. You know, you ain't got to be cool. You ain't got to be cool to be a Christian. Amen. Just keep on wearing. What you looking at me for, brother? You just keep on. I'm old folk. I'm an old 70, 80 year old. No, you need to repent. You ain't turned yet. What? You ain't old yet. I know he ain't. Them old folk, you know, 70, 80. They don't, you know you still gossiping. That telephone. Get on the telephone. Yeah, call. Talk about Brother Brooks. Yeah. Oh, you know he ain't no good. Let's talk about him. Run to hell. I mean, go. No. I mean. Them non-members. There ain't nothing to that one church. Come on, man. You know better than that. God love everybody. He ain't gonna make that. He can't be like that. Just slowly start working on their belief system. Oh, you know baptism, man. Just accept Jesus and your personal Savior. You'll be all right. The grace of God got you. But them preachers, don't preach the gospel. Just tell them good news. Tell them how to get rich. As a young preacher, don't preach the truth. From Church Christ preaching. You're going to run them off telling them about the one church. Sifting them preachers. Not this one.
Amen.
Not this one. And here's what I've done for y'all. I put you on the sifter to see if you believe Scripture. Because if you don't believe Scripture, what I said won't mean nothing to you. You understand? So, brother, what I do, you got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How many of y'all believe it?
Amen.
Get Acts 8:37. When a man or woman believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, here's what he did. They had to make a confession. Did they believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? And when they believed it, here's what they said.
And Philip said.
Philip said.
If thou believest with all thine
heart. The man wanted to get his sins washed away by baptism. He said, you can if you may, if you believe. And he said what?
And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Let's say it together. I believe that Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
So if you're here today and you stop it, you say, I'm ready to repent. You got to make this confession. Make it a seat. I'm going to walk down here today and I'm going to say what? I believe that Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
Stop. You don't take the Lord's Supper. You're not in the one church. You haven't been baptized. Stop. You have left the church. You know the truth. You're unfaithful. Stop. Repent. And then what? Turn. When you walk down and you're coming down, we're going to baptize you. And the Bible says for the remission of your sin. So that's baptism. Baptism is for the remission of sin. And then and only then are you a child of God. Baptism is a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Under the water, you contact the blood of Jesus. That blood washes away your sins in water. Did God make it hard, or we have to believe? Which is it? He didn't make it hard. You got to believe it. And when you believe that there's water in there and there's blood, you'll come down the aisle today. Because you say, Lord, I just want to be a Christian. How many of y'all just want to be a Christian? In my heart, I just want to be a Christian. I want to come to him. I want to serve him. I want to say, I am a Christian. How many of y'all want to be Christians? I'm a Christian. If you want to be a Christian, you come by hearing, by believing, by repenting, by confessing and being baptized. We'll do that today. Come to the front. Repent by making confession. As together we stand and sing the song, Lord, I'm a Christian.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Whereby? It starts up here.
In my heart.
Who want to be a Christian today, Lord? I want to be a Christian. Come on. Come on to the Lord. Come on to the Lord today. Give your life to him. Come on to him. Give your life to him. Give your life to the Lord. Come on, convert. Come back to the home. Come back to God if you've left him. Convert, convert, come back to him. Those who have left the Lord, come back to him. Come back. Come back, confess it, and confess your faults. Come to him, come to him. Lord, I want to be a Christian.
I want to be a Christian.
Sing with him, hallelujah.
In my heart.
In my heart.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
want to be like Jesus
in my heart.
In my heart.
In my heart.
Lord, I want to be like Jesus. Who
want to
be like Jesus this morning?
Be like Jesus
in my heart.
In my heart.
Come on to the Lord. Come on to the Lord. Let him in your life.
In my heart.
Let him in. Let him in. See, I stand at your door and knock. I want to come in. If you let me, if you're open, I'll come in and sup with you. In my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Up here. Up here. Make my decision. Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Lord, I want to be. To be.
In my,
in my heart.
One last appeal.